And good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today we're joined by Rowan County Judge Executive Jim Nickel as we talk about county business. And Judge Nickel, as always, welcome to The Front Page.
Thank you, Chuck. You have to excuse my voice this morning. It's those summer allergies that we have going around right now.
So. I was just kind of wondering if maybe you'd had a disagreement with some of the magistrates No. in the meeting yesterday.
No, it's always very talkative, but I got an allergy thing going on, and it takes its toll on me.
Well, I was looking at the agenda, and I pulled the sheets out of my mailbox this morning, and I thought there has to be another page to it because this agenda seems to be missing some things.
As you know, we had a special call meeting early on between the July and August meeting, which we took care of some housekeeping businesses as well. So those things were not on our regular agenda yesterday. We did have a few other housekeeping items to take care of. Hazard mitigation plan for 2012. That's a plan that we have to pass a resolution that if, God forbid, we ever have another disaster, we have to pass this resolution and agree to certain things. And if we didn't, we couldn't participate in FEMA money. So hopefully that will never happen, but we did pass that. Another item that we took up, and Tricia Shields with Gateway Area Development District is helping the Farmers Market Group apply for a grant. Their plan is to build a shed down on the Farmers Market area as you enter the city park there on the right. It'll be several bays where farmers can bring their produce in. It cannot be a permanent structure, so it'll be kind of a pole building, something you could remove if necessary. That's due to the agreement with the State Transportation Cabinet. County actually owns the property, but we do have some restrictions there. So I know the city donated $1,000 at their meeting. County is going to help by bringing in rock and other things that they need to once they get the shelter up. But it'll be a nice, attractive pole building. I think they have arched ways and at the ends, and plan on putting up quilt banners and those type things. So it'll be a very attractive. I don't know exactly how many bays, Chuck. Probably 8 or 10 bays where they can get in and out. So it'll be a nice addition down there for them.
Sort of an open air pavilion.
Yes, open air pavilion type with bays in it, where they can get in and out of the weather, keep the sun off their produce and those type things. So, again, this is an application that we approved yesterday. It's a $14,000 grant through the Ag Department, and I think they have a pretty good shot at getting that.
When will they find out, you know?
I'm not sure on the time deadline. I would suspect, before the next season, hopefully sometime this winter, they usually start going through those grants. It's a small grant. Usually the smaller grants have better approval rates than large grants. They try to spread that money around to more communities. So I think they've got a pretty good shot at it.
Yeah, it's a nice thing for them. I know that the farmers market has become a lot more popular, but at the same time, having a structure like that, I don't want to say gives it a sense of legitimacy because it is already legitimate, but at the same time, it makes it look maybe more professional.
It does, and if you've went by there, I think there's Saturdays and Wednesdays maybe are there days they sell this summer. That place is packed. I mean, there are a dozen or two farmers down there with their produce selling, and the area is crowded, people mingling and buying, and so it's a good thing. It's a good thing for the market farmers there. It's a good thing for the folks here in this county that they can go down and buy fresh produce. And so we're looking forward to helping those guys get their building up.
Back to the hazard mitigation plan, I guess you have to have something firmly in place then. And what all goes into that?
We do. This plan is handled through the Area Development District. We have and all counties have to do the same thing. It's just not Round County. But we have to agree to certain things, and it's in the form of a resolution. You have to pass this resolution, have it on hand, have it in place in case an emergency ever was declared. This way it provides the adequate paperwork necessary for us to participate and get money if we need it in a disaster. So it's, again, just a housekeeping type thing.
Mm-hmm. This kind of spells out what you do in those types of situations.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Did you have one before, or is this something new?
This is something new. They're changing. Federal governments are changing on a – if you deal with the federal government any one month to the next, it's something new, different paperwork. So this is something new that we have to have in place. The amounts that counties have to spend before disasters ever declared has went up. You know, it used to be it was, I think, around $60,000 for us. Now it's up to close to $90,000. We have to take out of our own funds before we can ask FEMA or anybody else to come in to help us. So things are tightening up all over at the federal level and state level.
Federal government. Let me get this principle right. The federal government asking for more paperwork than they asked for before.
Yeah.
I wonder, that seems like a new concept in some ways, isn't it?
Yeah, you and I both.
We've talked in the past about several things, and one comes to mind, the plans for the new regional jail here in the county and maybe what's developed there.
We, I think I told you last month, we're in the process of putting this application together to submit to the State Corrections Department. Yesterday and for the past month, we have ran advertisements seeking folks that may have property that would be suitable for a jail to be built at, a detention center. And surprisingly, we had 18 properties from 18 different folks. You know, some of those properties didn't have the infrastructure that was needed to be there, such as sewer and those type things. So you kind of eliminate those. And the court went into closed session, which we can legally do when you're dealing with real estate that the county intends to look at to purchase for obvious reasons. So we went into session yesterday, discussed for about an hour and a half of the proposals that the county has received over the past month. We kind of narrowed those down to like four, five, six pieces that we think that might be suitable to build a detention center on. The planning commission, the planning part of the court, which is going to look at property. There's four individuals that will go out and look and then make recommendations back to the court on what they found. I think we'll have that that location down to put into our application that we submit here in the next 40 to 45 days. We should have that. The county actually does not have to own the property at that time. We have to identify it because of county government's ability to have eminent domain and being able to take it through garnishment that way. It's not that county's going to take it and not pay for it. We still have to pay for it. But we have to have that location in our application. Once we get the application done, and I've been working with Teresa Shields at Gateway. She's helping with some language on some of the application, and I think by somewhere around the 1st of October, I hope to have it ready to submit to Corrections. Once it's submitted to Corrections, Corrections has 60 days to review that application to make sure everything's there that needs to be there. Then you have a local jails facility committee authority, they call it, which is a state, has several legislators on it, Department of Corrections folks, finance folks. They look at it and either vote it up or down to say, yes, Round County's application meets that need, or no, it does not. We are the second, we will be the second county in this state that has submitted an application. So we're kind of excited and new at this, so hopefully everything will go right. And by the first of the year, I hope to have a word back.
So have you sent, perhaps when you talk about the site, a framework of what you'd like to pay for that site for the new jail?
Well, one of the things that we ask in the proposals from individuals that may have property that would be suitable is a price. We wanted to know what they wanted for it. We also identified the distance between our judicial center and where those sites were located, how long it would take to as far as transportation and cost. We looked at that. We had some from 3 minutes up to 7 minutes. So we have pretty good property within reasonable distance from the judicial center. We also, you know, we got those proposals in, I would have my staff go in and look and see what's there. Is the sewer there? Is electric there? Is gas and so on? So we, as I said, we have 4, 5, 6 pieces of property that we think are meets the criteria. It meets the price that we're looking for, and has the infrastructure there to do the job. So hopefully we'll come up with a piece here in the next 40, 45 days.
How much do you think it might cost?
Well, property, it depends on location. You're looking at property anywhere from 10,000 an acre up to, some of them were as high as $60,000-$70,000 an acre. You know, some folks like their property a lot better than other people. But the process, and, you know, we want to make sure that anything we do is within the law. And so whatever property we choose, it has to be appraised by a state appraiser. And, you know, the individual can get their own appraisal done as well, and then we negotiate from there. So it's a process, and hopefully we'll have it done.
In terms of acreage, how much land do you need?
Well, we're a minimum of 5 acres. You know, if you look at a 250-300-bed facility all on one floor, It's you have a central location where all your office stuff is, and then you have fingers coming off that where you have your sales and your holding facility. So it has to be a fairly large block of land, 5 acres or better. We've had, Chuck, some proposals, 5 acres. Well, actually, 4 acres, which is a little bit under that, but all the way up to 30 acres. Some folks had as much as that. So we discussed yesterday the possibility of even maybe looking beyond 5 acres to grow gardens, let the inmates grow their own gardens, their vegetables, and those type things. I know a judge up in Greenup County, they have a big garden up there every summer, and the inmates go out and work. It produces a lot of food. For themselves, not only for themselves, they give it to senior citizens and other folks as well. So there are some other ideas that if we get a larger plot of land, more than 5 acres, we'll have some land there to do some other things with as well.
I guess at the same time, too, and I know you're talking about building a jail that would be, I guess, anywhere from 250 to 300 beds. That's a pretty sizable facility. And God forbid this happens, but in case you do need to expand, if you have more acreage, then you have some land to work with there.
True, very true, and that's another reason you look for the additional land. You know, if there are all kinds of possibilities for growth of the county 10, 15 years down the road.
So you're really on the cusp of getting this kind of all tied up and wrapped with a bow to send to the DOC.
Yes, and that should be here hopefully within the next 90 days or so, hopefully.
Again, our guest today on the front page is Rowan County Judge Executive Jim Nickel. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. We're going to pause for just a moment and come back with more right after this.
You know, sometimes people ask the wrong questions when it comes to their cars.
But a good mechanic has to be able to see right through to the heart of the matter.
The question is, we have drive 3-2-1. When do I use the drive, and when do I use the three?
Well, if you want to prolong the life of the transmission, you should leave the shifter in P.
Join us for Car Talk.
You can hear Car Talk Saturday and Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. on MSPR.
Welcome back to today's front page. Again, we're talking with Rowan County Judge Executive Jim Nickel. And Judge Nickel, as we continue our discussion, I wanted to ask you, I know that you're still, I guess, in a situation of mediation regarding the stolen funding from Morehead Tomorrow that's been returned from Terry Alderman. I think the figure is around $75,000. What can you tell us about the latest there?
Well, we had mediation. We have a hearing officer, and the hearing officer runs back and forth trying to come to a conclusion. And, our main county's main emphasis was we want some accountability to where how those funds are going to be used. So we've agreed actually to give all the funding to Morehead Tomorrow and the Arts Center to be used for specific programs, whether it's Arts and Eats or whatever it may be. We just want accountability how those funds were spent, which is normal. We're dealing with tax dollars, so the accountability is important to us. I know the two attorneys are talking back and forth. We pretty much agreed with the last proposal by that council. I've not heard anything back from their attorney since then, but I think we're pretty close to having that resolved.
It sounds like that.
Yeah.
From what you're saying, that this is going to be worked out, and it sounds like maybe worked out in an amicable fashion.
Yes.
What you're saying?
Yeah. We don't care to put the funds in to the downtown projects and programs and festivals as long as we know where it goes and how it's used. And we have some things in place that where it'll be accountable to the fiscal court, and we're agreeable to that.
One thing I was going to ask you about, I know that the Rowland School Board won't be meeting next week to look at a tax increase, because obviously they've taken some severe cuts here in the last few years, in particular from the state, and I guess also from the federal government as well. And I know that a lot of governments have looked at tax increases, and I talked to an official over in Olive Hill today about something in regards to that too as well. I know you and I have kind of talked about that a bit here for Rowland County. And I guess when you talk about declining state and federal support, you have to almost look at this and consider it in a serious fashion.
You do. Of course, election year, you don't want to talk about taxes at the local level. You know how that is. But I have talked about it in the past at some point in time. Most counties, Chuck, let me give you some examples. Just about every county around us has a what you call an insurance tax, which is a tax that's tied to a person's property. It may be 2%, 3%, 4%, whatever they set it at. And those funds go to help your fire departments, your emergency services. This county has never had that. This comes out of county budgets, and I can see that. And there's more and more demanding. If you're going to keep your tax rates down, if we didn't have the volunteer firemen, firefighters, and the volunteer fire departments of this county, your tax rates would go up, and even depending on where you lived. and folks ought to ask them, if this fire department wasn't here, this fire hydrant wasn't within 500 feet of my property, how much would my tax be? It would surprise you how much your insurance would go up. That's one example. Another example is that most counties have ambulance tax. We do not. That's funded by county and city in their own revenues that they collect. It's getting tougher to do that because the main source of income, the revenue from insurance companies, being cut. Those insurance companies are paying less and less for service provided. So I can see in the future something, they're going to have to come up with something to help offset the cost of those increasing budgets of like ambulance and fires and those type things. So I understand the school board situation, and I have family that teach, that are teachers. I have a daughter that has 21 in a first grade class this year, so she's on top of that stuff.
Well, and to be realistic about the situation, when you talk about municipal governments, their revenue comes from taxes. And I know the feeling has been, well, only if the economy would just come back, you know, we'll get more people working and that'll help create more revenue. But unfortunately, we heard that Kentucky's unemployment rate here has gone up again. I think it's something around 8.5% now. And so not enough people are working to help create more revenue. So it almost puts municipal governments in a bind.
It does. And when you... when county and city governments depend on occupational payroll tax, that up the hill and down the hill motion gets shorter and shorter sometimes. And a lot of times there's a deep valley there before it ever starts to back up. But the demand for services from municipalities, and continues on. It keeps growing and getting more and more, where you have a tax such as an insurance tax or an ambulance tax, that's pretty steady. That's based on property and based on insurance premiums and those type things. So your steady flow of income is there. It's not based on occupational payroll, where you have those deep valleys. It's tough from time to time. We're very, very fortunate here, very blessed to have an economy that is not solely based on factories, manufacturing, those type things. We have a lot of wood products, which is it has your peaks and valleys as well. But our net payroll and profits tax is pretty steady. It's actually a little bit. We got a report yesterday. It's just a little bit above where we were last year. So we're blessed to, you know, there are many communities when they look at the bottom line, they're, especially coal counties, coal severance money, they lost millions of dollars. And tough to try to operate a county government when that happens.
I'll ask you this real quick. When economic times are tough, obviously, your tax revenue is stressed out too, but is there more of a demand on, say, services from a county government during those times?
Well, you do. Good example is the road department. When things are tightening up, folks have less money, they make requests that county governments can't do legally. We can't go out and work on private property or repair someone's driveway. We just can't do those things. It's illegal. And I always use the analogy. I said, now, if I get in trouble, I have to go to jail, will you go with me? Because that's what would happen. And so there is more of a demand. Folks demand more sometimes than you can give. But I think at the end, they understand. You know, we're like anyone else. We have to live within our means, within our budget.
What's the latest regarding the animal shelter? Because that's about ready to be finished up.
Yes, we are in the final phase. We're getting ready to surface the parking lot. We got our pricing on our exterior fence that goes around the property. We hope to everything inside's done. We're going through a punch list now, just the little nicks and those type things with the contractor. Grass is all planted. Fencing's all up for the runs. Looks very good. We hope to have an open house here within the next, 10 to 15 days.
And what's the plan to start moving all the animals from the old shelter to the new one?
Right after the open house. I think everybody wants to be able to hear when instead of having 40, 50 animals in there barking, and you don't hear very much. But it's... I know Judge Foxworthy over in Fleming County, we had a meeting down at the Department of Local Government last week. He asked me when we were going to be able to start receiving their animals. And I said, very, very shortly, Judge. So hopefully within the next 10, 15 days we'll be complete.
So what we're saying is that the new dog pound is under roof.
Yes,
so
under roof.
Well, Judge, as always, thanks so much for being with us on the Front Page, and we appreciate your time and look forward to talking with you next month.
Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it.
Brown County Judge Executive Jim Nicol, our guest today on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. See you next time.